Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, August 22nd, 2022. And, oh my goodness, we got some stuff to talk about. We'll probably have a little bit of time to take some open mic calls as well. But for those of you, if you did not watch the Moment of Truth Summit, Mike Lindell's Moment of Truth Summit over the weekend, you really need to go out there and listen to it. They said to all together, they figured it was about 30 hours between the 2 days. So I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched a lot of it. And I'll tell you, it really is a moment of truth. It's there. You watch this, and it doesn't matter what party you're in, whatever. If you're an American and you have any decency at all and have any loyalty to your country, you gotta face the truth. And this is the Moment of Truth Summit, perfectly named. And Mike Lindell, all the work, everything he's been doing for the past 2+ years here, ever since this election, it's all out there. It's just the truth. We have to face the truth. But before we go there, let's go ahead and do the pledge. And please feel free to join, even though I won't hear you, but you can join me. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And somebody's going to try to call me at this moment. Oops, okay. Okay. Nothing like multitasking the whole time. Anyway, the Pledge of Allegiance, it should mean something to us. If you don't say it every day, okay, try to say it from time to time. Say it with your family, with your friends, with the kids, definitely with the kids. When I'm out there seeing the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts out there, where they're out there selling their cookies and whatever else, and I always drill them on some kind of history. And I frequently do tell them or ask, I say, well, I'll buy some of these if you say the Pledge of Allegiance for me. And then I'll ask them a few questions here and there, whatever. I try to sort of make a game out of it while they're out there trying to raise money type of thing. So I do that. But anyway, right now we've taken such an attitude that everything is bad about America, which just isn't true. So it's those of us who genuinely believe in it, believe in this country and want to save it, take the time to do the little things. Go ahead and say the pledge and say a prayer for America. And I see Karen has joined us. I'm going to open her mic because I know she's not going to be able to stay on the whole time, but I'm going to get started a little bit here on the topic of the day, which is, again, Mike Lindell. He had the Moment of Truth Summit over the weekend. If you have not seen it, you can go to Right Side Broadcast Network. You can watch it all there. And you can get that on Roku as well. You can go to Mike Lindell's site, frankspeech.com. Go there and watch it. Watch segments of it. Very, very informative. Again, I didn't sit there for a whole 30 hours and watch all of it, but I watched an awful lot of it. And on the first day, they went through every state. They just went starting with the A's, going through to the W's, and going out there, Wyoming being the last one. going through and talking about what the elections were like and what people have done to either prove or disprove, whatever the truth is, and all the different things. And then there's the computer engineers who were out there dissecting what these systems were doing, how you find the – I mean, there's no way if you're calculating votes, there's no way that you got 10 votes today or, you know, in the last 5 minutes you get 10 votes and then all of a sudden you have zero votes. You may never get more than 10, but you wouldn't lose them. So you see all sorts of insanity of what's going on with these systems. Very, very informative. It is the truth. This is what has been dissected with many, many Americans involved, people who just want the truth, and we know we can't get that out of our so-called leadership. So if you didn't watch it, you really need to, and we'll talk some more about some of that stuff too, but I really have to make sure I have to get this out there. Apparently, Fauci is going to resign in December. And I heard some little clip that he doesn't want to be there with a Republican Congress, so he says. At least that's what they won. Clip of a report I heard. So Fauci's finally going to leave us. And the question that every American, I don't care whether you're a Republican or whatever, every American out there should be asking, especially to the Republicans, okay, Fauci goes, runs out with his tail between his legs in December trying to escape. Are you going to still take action? See, places, there is no time limit, date limit on it, on the death penalty. Crimes against humanity. The guy should still be held accountable. Well, we know that the Democrats aren't going to do it for the obvious reasons. It was part of their game. So you don't really expect the Democrats to do anything, even though if they had any kind of a decency or had a conscience, whatever, they would do it too. But the question is, will the Republicans do it? Rand Paul, are you still going to go after him? I think Rand Paul will. I think there's a handful of them that will still go for him. But will the Republicans at large go if he goes running out the door with his tail between his legs? I mean, the guy's overpaid. He helped kill millions and millions of people. He ought to be held accountable. You know? I mean, they're going to have IRS agents out there harassing average and low-income citizens to make sure they didn't cheat a penny of their tax or whatever kind of nonsense they're going to do. And I guess they'll have the right to kill you if you didn't. I don't know, whatever this deadly force thing means. So if they can go after Americans for maybe not paying or whatever on the taxes, whatever it may be, why can't they go after this guy for participating and helping to build a bioweapon, helping to get that bioweapon into the hands of China and others, helping to get it spread around the world, lying about the treatments for it? Crimes against humanity. He's a treasonous traitor, and he killed a lot of people. There's blood on his hands. So we shall see. You can tell me if you think Fauci will go out there, whether Republicans will go out there after Fauci if he resigns in December because he's running scared from the Republicans, which to me, running scared from the Republicans by itself is kind of laughable, but whatever. Okay, so it was that. Let's see. When talking about this, the Moment of Truth Summit, all to do with the election machines, you got to just keep saying it to yourself, pounding it into everybody you know. We have to get rid of the machines. The machines are the problem, not the people. The machines. It is the machines that get manipulated by some people, and they are the ones that they set up to go out there, switch votes, flip them, duplicate them, do whatever, play with all sorts of games, and we'll get into some of the details here. But it's, we have to get rid of the machines. We don't really know, even on day one, the first time they were put a system in, was there ever an honest election with a machine? Now, we know in the past few years, they've been worse. And I will even go back to say 2016, as I said in the past, 2016, Hillary just couldn't believe she lost. Those machines were set up for her to win. How could she lose? It was all there. They had it all set up. How could she lose? They rigged the system. They rigged the machines. And she still lost. Well, that's because they really didn't forecast the popularity, the favorableness, whatever you want to call it, of Trump. And they just didn't have the right calculations. And it didn't work. That's why they had to stop on this last round when they still didn't have the right formula. Uh-oh, something ain't going right. We have to stop these machines. Ooh, malfunction, outage, system outage, whatever. Whatever kind of nonsense, because we've got to get this set right this time. We didn't screw it up enough. We didn't flip enough votes. We didn't purge enough of those other votes. We didn't, you know, all these things that we were supposed to do didn't work. So we have to stop. So, but, I mean, to think that election fraud started in 2016 or 2020 would be foolish. Yeah, got to go back to when it first happened. And I'll even tell you one other story. And then we'll get Karen in here because I know she's not going to be able to stay the full time on the show tonight. The there was this person that I knew by the name of Sally who ran for the Orange County mayor in 2005. Orange County, Florida, that is. And overall, didn't have a lot of money, but had some popularity because I was not the status quo. I was not out there supporting the crazy developers all over the place. I was not doing all that stuff. I was being, as some people said, you're too honest to be in office. I mean, I literally had people tell me that. You're too honest to be elected to public office. That's a sad, sad statement, isn't it? You're too honest. But anyway, and I still say to this day, dear Lord was watching out for me because it's a good thing I didn't get in there because I think they were probably right. I am too honest. So, but anyway, but when I was running, we had the touchscreen machines to vote, and it's all paper now in the state of Florida, I think. I don't think there's any of the other ones anywhere. And I had people in my county, Orange County, they reported they would select me, but it would flip to the other person. And they said they did it over and over again. They reported it. Well, the supervisor of elections, who happens to still be the supervisor of elections in Orange County, said it was a machine malfunction. And someone tried to say that the pad was out of sync with the machine itself. So you're touching one side, but it's actually touching something else or whatever. It was this kind of insanity. And people back then, and this was 2005 now, people back then did contact the state office about the election. No response. And, I mean, it wasn't like several hundred thousand did this or anything crazy like that. It was a handful of people who openly did it. It was reported to local media. They never said anything about it. It was all just dismissed because corruption is good. Corrupt elections is normal. We just do it this way. It's all just a game to make you feel like you're participating in the process. You're not really participating. We've already decided, here's who got the most money. They're the ones who are paying off the machines and all this stuff. Here's who's going to win. So go vote just for the fun of it. Amuse yourself. Act like you're doing something. But the truth is, it doesn't matter. And that is, I mean, that's what happened. Like I said, deep down, I'm sure it was a blessing in disguise that I did not get elected. The other part of the thing, the other equation, is in Orange County, Florida. They are open primaries for the county offices. And if we have time, we'll talk about the open county stuff going on here in Jackson County. The open primaries, so everybody votes in the county commission, in the county offices. Everybody votes in the primary. It's only at the state level and the federal level where you get the party partisan stuff, closed primaries. Most people didn't know that. And I did my best to try to educate people, yes, but here's the thing. The charter, the county charter, said if there's only two people running, then it automatically goes to the general election, and then they would be voted for, since, again, it's no party affiliation, so you would have that in the general election. Well, what they did is they slipped in a write-in candidate, which wasn't correct either. Write-in candidates weren't supposed to be on the primaries. At least not at that time. Who knows what they've done since then. But they were not supposed to do that. But they went ahead and did it anyway. Somebody that they knew wasn't interested in running, they did this like 1 week ahead of the cutoff time to do this because they wanted to force a primary because they know most people don't know to vote in the primary. All the no-party affiliates don't know to vote in the primary. A way to disenfranchise people, alienate people. So anyway, I saw firsthand. I've been there. I can say, yes, I have run for office. Yes, I do know I do know Florida has its own corruption. Maybe not as bad as some of these other states, but not exactly clean. And in my case, because both of us were Republicans at that time, I got to be firsthand to see what the Republican Party of Florida did, too, which was pretty disgusting. And I left the Republican Party after that. So anyway, the point is, the election's a dirty business. It's corrupt at the most basic of levels, but you go and put some kind of electronic device like this in front of them. You say, here it is. Come on. It's kind of like our crazy open border. Come on in. You know, just because you're illegal is no reason why you can't come in. Come on in. Take it. It's all yours. Right now, the stuff after watching that thing, how many people around the world participated in our elections? I don't know that we know yet, but you can be sure that people on the other side of the planet were voting in our elections. You got to go out there and watch it. With that being said, I'm going to get Karen in here because, again, I know she's not going to have a full hour tonight with us, but I know she was looking into some of this. So, Karen, how are you doing?
I am doing great, Sally, and it's always wonderful to talk to you, and thank you so much. Show is picking up steam and people are talking, and that's what we need, spreading the information. I was listening to you. There's very little that I could add to that. I was a believer that the election was stolen the minute I saw they stopped counting. I said, that's the end. Goodbye. We're toast. So we knew that that was coming, and it came. So we have to now, as you said, be prepared to make sure that this does not happen again. From what I understand, and I have not verified this, I have to do that, there is a statute on the books in Florida that says that we are to use paper ballots, paper signatures. We have ID, so you have to have a photo ID. You have to really attest to the fact that you are who you say you are and agree that your information is not stolen and it is correct. And then you get your ballot and you go to the voting booth. Everything is great up till there. Then the ballot goes through a scanner. Now, why does it need to go through a scanner? Aren't there enough people there that are capable of counting ballots? That's the part when I said, okay, if they're going to cheat, this is where it's going to be. And then no matter what they say, you are connected to what they call MiFi, which is Wi-Fi. So then we found out that there was a group of people that were in China writing the algorithms to pull out certain votes and switch machines and things like that. So, folks, this has been going on for a long time, and it's time that we stop it. And the only way that we can stop it is paper ballots, period. There is no reason if France can do paper ballots and have them counted within 2 hours of the election and have the preliminary real results instead of waiting for their media to call. The media hasn't called the election. Who needs the media to call the election? The people are supposed to call the election. So if we voted in our precinct, you can't tell me that there aren't people that live in your district, in your precinct, that are capable of counting ballots. I find that hard to believe, don't you, Sally?
Yes, of course, there are times with some of the new education I'm concerned, but right now I still think we have enough people to know how to count.
Yes, and that's what should be done. And why are we spending an inordinate amount of money on all this nonsense when it's unnecessary? Because after the ballot is read by the scanner, the ballot drops into the bottom bin. Now, what's tabulated is the amount of votes, not the party votes. Now, in Florida, we have a closed primary, so if you are a Democrat, you can only vote for a Democrat or NPA, non-party affiliate. If you're an NPA, you can only vote for an NPA. And if you are a Republican, you could only vote for a Republican or an NPA. And in many cases, you're right, Sally, the election is called at the primary because the NPAs, for example, in the school board, many school boards are no party affiliation. Nobody is supposed to know what party you come from. So there is so much confusion around this. I think it is in desperate need of being figured out and educating the public so that everybody knows what's going on at the election. We should not only Well, first of all, I forgot the best part. This statute, which I have to find the name of, supposedly states that you have your paper ballot, you put it through your scanner, and you are not allowed to challenge the results of the scanner. Huh? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Did Hillary know that? Did Stacey Abrams know that? Am I missing something? So they play all kinds of games, but the one thing you can be sure of, because I remember what I say, there are no coincidences. Everything happens for a reason. Everything has a plan, and all plans are based on lies. And the lie is this was the most secure election ever. Right?
Yeah.
That's what we heard.
Yeah,
that's
right.
So that was really the big lie, the big kahuna. Anyway, we have an opportunity to either be poll workers. I signed up to be a poll worker so I could understand the way the system works. Remember what Karen Bracken says, if you want to be the system, you have to become the system. You have to know what you're up against. You have to know what you're fighting. You have to know the flaws. You have to know the positives. And what I found, to me, that would have been the biggest flaw is this scanner. Because if the scanner is going to put the ballot in a bin, why can't the person put the ballot in the bin? What am I missing here? I have the ballot in my hand. I just came out of the voting booth. The nice lady directs me to what I thought was a place to deposit my ballot. No, it was a place to scan my ballot. And the scanner puts my ballot in the machine, and I never see my ballot again. So I find that to be problematic. How and the other problem that I saw was you are asked for the overall count of votes, and then you calculate them and tabulate them on the verify machines. You count them that way, and then you get how many each machine did, and that, of course, has to equal the total, and then the scanner gives you a total. Okay, so let's say I'm using hypothetical, not where I was, just hypothetical. Let's say I was in an area that had 300 registered Republicans and 100 registered Democrats. Or vice versa, who cares? What would happen would be one group would go in and the scanner could change the votes of the other group as long as the total was the same, because they're not asking how many Republican votes, how many Democrat votes. So that I saw as a flaw also. That is my assessment. I commend in my county, I commend the supervisor of elections. It was very organized, very well thought out. All instructions were terrific and very easy to understand and manage. And she did a good job, a really good job. The problem I saw, like I said, was not with the procedure or anything. It was with the actual scanner. And then somebody said that we're not allowed to look at or challenge the scanner. Huh? How does that work? We have to just accept what the scanner said, period? That's not good. Are we going to have the same problem with Governor DeSantis? I hope not. That would be terrible. You know,
yeah, I mean, and I guess the other thing, just to kind of clarify for a couple of people, obviously the primary is the closed primary. That's where you're going to be divided between Republicans and Democrats, whatever. In the case of Florida and the governor, well, DeSantis is unopposed at the Republican level, so obviously he wins the primary. There's nothing there kind of stuff. And then, of course, the general, because I'm thinking about how these machines work after you're past the primary. And I also want to clear up, because this was something that just happened, and I do see a caller wanting to chime in out there. I think it's probably Joe. In Jackson County, Florida, where I'm at, they do have the closed primaries for the county commission, not like Orlando, Orange County, okay? They have closed primaries even for the commission. The only thing that's not a closed primary here, from my understanding, is the school board. However, in the case that's happening right now, there are only two candidates running for my commission district, and they both happen to be Republican. So to leave it like that would mean anybody that's not a Republican has absolutely no chance to vote on the commission race if you have a true closed primary. But what I found out, and I will be challenging this, it's not going to happen for this election, but I'm going to see what I can do to talk about election integrity. They have what they call a universal primary. And so what happens is everybody who's in that district, that county district, everybody who's in there is supposed to vote in the primary for one of those two people. Doesn't matter what party they are, because there's only two. And again, they call it a universal primary. It went from being a closed primary to a universal primary, which is basically the same thing as an open primary. And again, if anybody gets over 50% of the vote, they would win in a primary. I personally don't believe anyone should be elected in a primary. There are just the massive growth of no party affiliates, not to mention all the other parties, the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, the Green Party, all these other parties that are out there that are totally excluded from the primary too. They don't have a say in it. So I do not believe you should be elected in a primary. And what they were doing, this universal primary thing that is going on here in Jackson County, I don't believe it is ethical. I don't believe if you want election integrity, you can't play games like that and expect the no party affiliates to be aware that you're flip-flopping this stuff. Now, can we say, if you don't know what the vote is, then that's your own fault, you know, whatever. Yeah, go ahead.
Sally, is it I lost my train of thought. can we say how many people actually know this? How many people know that if they live in Jackson County, that the winner of the primary will become their commissioner? That will be the winner, period. I wonder how many people know or understand what an open primary or a universal primary is. And people didn't like the open primary, so they changed the name to the universal primary. It's the same thing, folks.
My own opinion, I think very few people. The only reason I knew about it is because I had already gone to a candidate forum. I already realized there were only two candidates who were both Republican. And then because I got a postcard from the current commissioner wanting to be reelected, and it said, everyone votes. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be a closed primary. How can everybody vote? And then that's when I took the time to go find out what it was. Anybody else probably didn't even pay attention to what's saying that on that postcard. And did they really read the local paper to see, yes, everybody's supposed to vote? I haven't, who knows, I can't really tell you much about Jackson County time. It hasn't impressed me real a lot at this point. And
how many people even get it or pay attention to it?
Exactly.
That's more troubling than anything else, is seeing how many. Well, I guess we will find out tomorrow, and I will be an EVID operator so that we can, I really want to see what's going on. So far, so good. So the procedure to vote is good, but the problem are the way or the statutes that are written around what you can and cannot do, i.e. you can't look at the software in the machine. By the way, Florida does not use Dominion machines. Florida uses ES&S. And it's electronic, don't ask me, I don't remember. All I remember is ES and S. But they are just as bad as Dominion if you allow manipulation of your tabulator, and that's what's going on. And believe me, folks, no matter how foolproof you think it is, somebody who wants to get in it, period.
Yep.
It's sick. You work, you are familiar with IT. Is that not true? If somebody really wanted to get into something, could they not do it?
Well, all you got to do is look around. I mean, we know that they've hacked into people's credit card accounts and all this stuff. If they're determined to do it, there's ways to do it. You have to do an awful lot of monitoring to catch it. If it starts to happen, you need people, honest, of course, who are going to be there and say, wait a minute, something strange is happening, and then and stop it before it goes too far. But the fact is, you got the evil players when it comes to politicians. The politics and everything else, they're all in bed together on so much of this stuff, it's not funny. And that was kind of some of the stuff that came out over the summit, too. It's like, don't think the Republicans haven't been doing this, which, excuse me, Tom Feeney, a representative from Florida years ago, was apparently one of the first ones who went out there and paid someone to come up with these algorithms to go out there and do this. And that was discussed. The guy who came clean, the whistleblower who exposed what he did, he came up with this formula to always keep the votes at 49-51% kind of thing to make sure it didn't look too weird, and how he was the one that did that. But that was at the request of, I believe he was a congressional representative at that point. Tom Feeney had a couple of different roles here in the state of Florida. So I don't keep trying to backtrack as to when he actually did this. But initially, the guy who happened to be a Democrat was doing this. He thought they were trying to protect. They were saying, if you were going to break into the system, how would you do this, and what are we going to do to stop it kind of thing. That was what he said on the at the summit this weekend. So that was his position. He thought he was helping to prevent election fraud, but in fact he was helping to create it, and that's exactly what happened. And it just only got worse. And the guy was saying he put the code up on the screen. This is how easy this was to do. Just do this, and this, and you do these little checks here, keep them between 49, 51, do this. This is all there was to it. Anybody can do this. That was really the way he talked about it to Mike Lindell. If you go out there and watch, go to day two, the last, I would say, 4 hours of it, if you can get back there, that's when you'll hear him talk to this guy. You'll hear him talk to the engineers who went through the system, who they will show you how the votes flip back and forth. And it's just, it's the truth. This is what has happened. That's why we have to get rid of the machine. Now, I'm going to let, I think it's Joe out here because he's been waiting a while. Let's see if he's gotten it. Joe, is that you? Or do I have the wrong number?
Nope, it's the wrong number. I wanted my pizza half an hour ago. What happened?
Well, what would you like to say? Give us your first name.
You didn't use the right pronoun.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got to ship it to they, even though it's just
that's
me.
Right.
You got to ship it to they.
Right.
Yeah. I know. I have
Your ESG score wasn't high enough.
That's right. I've got gender pizza problems.
Yes. Absolutely.
And with that being said, how would you like to add to this discussion?
Well, I saw the your headline on your description page, and you were talking about Mike Lindell getting rid of the machines. So I'm wondering if Mike Lindell came back into the picture and all the Dominion machines prominent again. But Karen was saying that they don't have Dominion machines in this election that you're talking about. They have new electronic machines. I'm not against electronic machines. I'm against, tapping into them and fraud. They were able to change the vote on the, on the old-fashioned machines where you had the levers. So fraud is all over the place. It doesn't matter if it's electronic or if it's manual. So what is Mike Lindell's position in this? How does he figure into what you're talking about today, Sally?
Well, just for the record, Florida isn't using the Dominion machines. They have these scanners. After you have the paper ballot and then it goes through the scanner, And that's the part where the counting, the way the counting is going on, gets a little bit squirrely, and that's what Karen was talking to. So, and then I had heard on the summit at the same time at this Moment of Truth Summit, one of the people, one of the experts, engineers, whatever, said something about in Florida, you're not allowed to challenge that scanning. If there's a recount, you got to rescan it. And so you would be keep repeating the same thing. And so if it was really it's not going
to
prove anything. You got to go and do something different. So there was some questions about that part of it. And then, of course, I would like to know more about how these scanners are really adding up. You might have 10 things to vote on it, including referendum items as well. So I'd like to know a little bit more about how these scanners work. And if there's a question on the vote, how are you going to go out there and validate what really came through? Because you have the paper ballot. You could do a manual count. Not the same as pushing the screen and all that stuff kind of thing. But so that's kind of the messy part when it comes to Florida. But no Dominion machines. Dominion machines are scattered about, and there's also the Smartmatic, I think, is the other, and there's one other one. There, ESEA, whatever. There's all these other machines that are still scattered out there. And little by little, some states are getting away from them. But the point is, if all you're depending on is pushing a button, you have no recourse to do any kind of recount, not really. The only thing, and this is where we'll talk a little bit here, the plan of action, cast vote request. Cast vote request. You go out there, and this is at your county level or your precinct level. You go out there and you go to the website. I got the link on the show page. You put in a request for these cast vote records. And the whole point is to get a, say if you're in a county that has 5,000 people in it. You get this record. It's a report. It doesn't give you names of who voted or any of that kind of stuff, but it gives you a record of the votes. And, wait a minute. There's only 5,000 people in this town.
But
and
you got 6,000
probably
votes.
And exactly. If 1,000 people don't vote, they're underage or whatever, for whatever reason they don't vote. So the most you should have is 4,000 votes, but we've got 8,000. How do we have 8,000 votes when we only have 4,000? So this is how you back into it. There's something not right when you have that many votes. And then the other part, which she was really pressuring people to do, so you need to do this now kind of thing, because apparently it's like September 3rd, I think it is a cutoff date. The
23rd.
Okay, well, I hope
I
so, because the whole point, there's a cutoff date that if we don't get the copy of those records before then, they have the right to purge them, and they will be gone forever. Did you find it?
I found them. You are correct. It was September 23rd. September 3rd is the federal protections for the records under Title 52, Sections 20701 comes to an end, allowing the legal destruction of these records. So we have until September 3rd, which means right after the election in Florida on the 24th, everybody should request these records. So you'll have the records of the current election as well.
Yeah, and when it comes to this current, I would have to probably check the double dates, because the 1/3 is for this last election, I think. I don't know. I have to check the dates. But it's critical to get a copy of these kind of records, because once they shred them and they're gone, then you'll never see them again. So
right.
We have to do what we can to have a copy of it, and we definitely got to check those out now that we're talking about it. For this primary election that's going to be tomorrow versus the records from the 2020 election. I'm thinking it's the 2020, but I won't swear to that at this point.
It is the 2020. You're requesting the records of the 2020 election.
Okay.
And it's important that that gets done, because we need enough many people to memorialize it, because when we try to reference it and they say they don't have it anymore, we can say, yes, we do.
Yeah.
Evidence. Keep it.
That's exactly. That's why it's important for us to get the record. And again,
right,
go ahead.
Everybody always asks, what can they do? This is what you can do. Request these records from your supervisor of elections. Exactly. That's what you can do.
Exactly.
Okay, no machines. Mike Lindell was no machines, paper ballots, and hand counting. And if other countries can do it, there's no reason why we can't. It's absurd to think that Americans can't count. It's insane. So anyway, that's what he is advocating, and I couldn't agree more. And I wanted to thank you for the time we spent today. I unfortunately, things happened, and I have to make an important call in a bit. So thank you so much. It is always wonderful to speak with you and to be on the show. And God bless everybody. And if you live in Florida, make sure you vote. And make tomorrow, if tomorrow is your voting day, make tomorrow the take your neighbor to vote day. See if your neighbor is voting. Because if we don't vote, we have no reason to complain. That's the easiest answer.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Karen. Have a good evening, and we will talk again next week.
Yes, and please, everyone, also visit the PRISM, the PRISM of America's Education, brought to you on the America App Network on Saturday and Sunday, 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. And thank you for letting me plug.
Problem. Okay. Okay, well, Joe, you heard all that. Now, the idea is if France can manually count their elections, why can't we? I mean, I guarantee there's absolutely no system that's perfect, but, you know, there's this thing, checks and balances. Accountants have been using this for years, and of course, they can play with the numbers. And in fact, there's an expression that I happen to like. It says, the figures don't lie, but the liars do figure.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I believe that's very true, but you have to, especially if you're counting these things at a local precinct area and stuff like that, you're going to have to get a lot of crooked people together in the same room to get them to go along and do that. And I don't know how easily that is to do when you get to that level. When you're behind the scenes, behind the machine where nobody can see you, it's a whole other story because you're in the darkness. No one knows you're there tampering with all those numbers. They know you're there. They just don't know who. Kind of thing, gremlins, whatever kind of thing. Mm. So, what else are you thinking about all of this and anything particular? Again, there's a lot of information. If you haven't watched that, the moment of Truth Summit, please go out there and do it. And the first day of it, Saturday, it was most of the day was going through state by state with the different activists who went out to find out what was going on at their own state level. And the corruption. Certain states are so much worse than others. Utah was a mess. Couldn't believe what they were doing with Utah, and they found how they were flipping votes from Mike Lee to the other. Unbelievable.
Electronically?
Yes. Uh-huh. That was it for Utah. Mm-hmm. So, and we can't let it go. We cannot, because the media is not doing their job, we're the ones who have to do the job. We have to put it out there. We can't depend on anyone else to fix the problem.
Yeah, that's true. I've always thought about a system. You're going to use the electronic machines because it's maybe faster. I would like to have it so where somebody votes, go to the machine, put the ballot in, you get a ID number, and the ID number of the ballot, you get a receipt for the ID number. And that ID number goes up on the web so that you know that supposedly that they've counted your vote. Other people will go to the web to count up all the votes, all the ID numbers of the voters that are there. And that's one particular check and balance that I would like to see. But you're talking about how difficult it might be if you have human beings checking. Yeah, it'd be a lot more difficult to enable corruption, compared to the machines. But you know what? You get a poll worker or you get somebody who's working for the state election board for a while, and the boss comes down and he says, hey, this is a new procedure or this is the way we do things here, and the person who follows his orders, they may not even know that what they're doing is corrupt, you know? So
right.
I'm just saying that it's so easy to do something. We have to have an almost foolproof way, what it is, who knows? But, you know, I would like to have videos of every count, of every ballot, and to have those videos reviewed by people other than just the state election board so that they can come up with the same numbers that the state election board comes up with. And if those numbers aren't matching, then you have a nice little investigation.
And that's true. And that Mike Lindell was talking about that yesterday, that every precinct, every voting poll would have the cameras there. You're going to watch the count. And that was even part of the point. You know, we have the right to watch the count of the vote. People don't understand that. I have to go look at the Constitution, make sure I read the right amendment part of where it's at, what article where it says that. I know it's out there. Can't think of exactly where. But we have the right to witness the counting of the vote. And, I mean, that's why the joke over the years has come. It's not who casts the vote. It's who counts the vote.
Yeah, that's from Stalin, yeah.
Yeah, so we have the right, and we've been denied that right time and time again. And, of course, we all know 2020, they were putting paper up on the windows. Apparently, they were putting paper up on the just recently now, too. We have that right to witness the vote. And there has to be cameras on those precincts all the way around. They're absolutely, and we just like the live stream they have for the Congress or whatever else, we have the right to watch it. They should not, and that, you know, if they want to spend my money on something, spend it on making sure that people have easy access to government and those kind of things, because it's not like everybody can go and sit there and watch it, well, do nothing, you know, literally be there, but they block you anyway. Cameras, got to have the cameras out there. And
yeah.
Mike was going over the different countries that have gotten rid of the machines, too. This is not strictly some issue here in the U.S. This is global. Apparently, it was so much information covered yesterday. Some were saying Canada, when it came to the bogus ballots and stuff like that, apparently a lot of it came out of Canada, which I think Dominion... Dominion machines, I think, are out of Canada. I won't swear to that, but
you know, that's such a surprise with Trudeau as prime minister. I don't understand where the corruption comes from.
Yeah, really. Surprise, surprise, right?
Yeah.
Our good old neighbor. He's out there. So it was that, and then the guy's name. Let me get this here. Let me make sure I tell you. It was really, I mean, the guy was, he was borderline comical. Clint Curtis, he's the Democrat whistleblower who exposed the truth about creating the files, the machines for the algorithm, I can't even talk, to go out there and play the games with us. He was going to come up with the 5149, why can't I say
and the algorithm? Just think of alligator, and then maybe it'll come.
Alligator. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The formula.
Yeah. The equation.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about a tongue twister.
Hey, you know, I'm thinking
he
about going to Gibson's show tomorrow. Anything you want me to express if you're not going, you know, that you would like to say that maybe I can say it for you, because that presentation that he gave last week, it still leaves me wondering about what's going on. So is there anything you would like me to ask on your behalf if you're not going?
It's kind of interesting you say that. I'm going to try to call in and talk a little bit about this and get people to go out there and get those cast voter records now. I mean, we need to do that, and people need to really push to get rid of these machines. We've got to do this. It's important, and for people to go out there, and if they haven't seen the Moment of Truth Summit, they need to go out there
What is that? Is that a video?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. You
I
can watch
heard of
it free online. Yeah, this, if you want to go to Mike Lindell's site, it's frankspeech.com. Frankspeech.com. And you can see different segments, so you can watch bits and pieces of it, or you can watch the whole thing. They had a like an hour and a half documentary movie type thing with the lady from Colorado. Now, of course, can't think of her name either, but she was a county supervisor of elections or whatever. She had made a copy of the file, like they told her. Then they tried to get it back from her and whatever else. The whole story about what they did to her, when in fact the file was corrupt, or you know they had elected. They were going to purge the records. But because she had made a copy, they weren't able to do that.
Is this a new video, or is this the one where he's talking about the packets?
Well, his summit was live over this past weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. They estimated between the 2 days, it was about 30 hours. Between the 2 days. It was really nonstop. I didn't get to sit and watch the whole thing, but I definitely watched parts of it. Towards the very end, they had the sheriff coming out. The sheriff were out there helping out with this effort, too. I mean, we have the American people know something is seriously wrong here and are finally getting engaged to do something, and we need to take action now. So, obviously, the cast vote records is a big piece of it. And, again, you go to the website. It's got a little button that tells you how to do it, even gives you the little letter, how you write it up, whatever, so that you can get this and why it's important. And then the other is to really, really push to get rid of these machines. And there's some other things out there, but we've got to when you go out there and you watch all this, you watch the facts of what really happens with these votes and how the system is so corrupt. It's always been corrupt. Unfortunately, there's something, the evil element of human nature, whatever it is, it's out there. The greed and power, the root of all evils kind of stuff. It's there. But if the good people do nothing, it's only going to get worse and it's only going to hurt us. I mean, here they are putting an army together of IRS agents to come after us.
Oh.
They can do that. But,
well,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we've got to put an end to it. We've got to shut it down. And it's all up to us. But the whole point, this is the facts. And the other thing that was mentioned, here's a name that they ought to be talking about on that show tomorrow if they're not. His name is Dennis Montgomery. Dennis Montgomery. This is a name that's been being popped around out there on and off. I myself didn't know anything about it until this past weekend when listening to it. But this guy, he and this other one, they had working for the FBI and the various agencies of the government, went out there and said these machines were corrupt. They got their statements out there, all this other stuff. And they were blocking it. I don't know whether it was the CIA or whoever was not allowing this information out there, where they had conclusive evidence and proof about the election fraud and what was going on with these machines. And yet it was all being withheld from the American people. They were totally lying. Let's see if I can find this one thing.
I don't know how much more proof they need. Not only do they have the 2,000 mules, but they had in real time, somebody who was commissioned by Giuliani. He was a hacker, and he hacked into a machine in real time to show how it could be done, you know, with a laptop. And you had the state, you had the hearings with Giuliani, of course, presenting the evidence, you know, and nothing's being done about it. And I don't know how much more evidence we need other than some, you know, than Biden himself saying, you know what, I voted for Trump myself. Other than that, I don't know what's going to wake up the people.
Well, but the thing is, right now, this kind of information, the statement that was being released, they've done everything they can to block it. And we're talking about Clapper and Brennan and all those yahoos that were in there when some of the stuff was going on.
Uh-huh.
And Obama had it legally commander, the powerful foreign surveillance. I mean, all this other stuff, the data was stored in 47 computer hard drives that Montgomery had turned over to the FBI and the DOJ in 2015. And this isn't strictly, I mean, this guy was doing a lot of work all across the board, and it included the information in this with the voting. And so it's just out there all over the place, and this is how much or how evil we've allowed this government to get. And if people keep saying, well, it's okay, there's always going to be a little corruption out there. This is beyond little. This is beyond that. And then even stuff in reference to the pandemic. I mean, you go out there, and they were reading part of this guy's affidavit. He's got two immunity agreements or whatever else it is out there. And at one point, apparently all the lawsuits going after Lindell, they kept making reference that he was being misled by this guy and all this garbage and all this other stuff. And Lindell hadn't put his name out there at all, hadn't said this guy Dennis Montgomery at all.
What are you doing Lindell about?
What's that?
You said they're going after Lindell. For what?
Well, he's got, I think he used the word billions, but millions or billions of dollars of lawsuits against him for what they're saying is misinformation. They're out there.
Oh, you're talking about Dominion? Yeah. There are lawsuits about everybody who's saying that the election was a fraud. Okay. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
How many lawsuits? He just kept saying lawsuits all over the place. He's being sued every which way you can imagine. And now the proof is out there. And there was this guy's statement, and they go through and they don't read the whole thing, but they definitely read the clips that talk about the election. And then they go through this other guy's statement as well. And the other guy makes a definitive statement that the election was interfered with. He makes a clear and blank statement that, yes, it was tampered with. And then a day later, he comes back and he corrects that piece of the statement and says he doesn't have direct evidence. He sort of went out there and said he did not witness the count himself, blah, blah, blah. So there were certain things he could not, you know, truly say, make that statement. However, he left all the other pieces of all the corruption of the machines and how they were manipulated. He left all that in there, but he took out that last statement. So that was out there. And then these documents are being withheld or limited, whatever it is, provisioned so that people, not everybody has access to them. But he had this formal letter where he was submitting his request to change the status of these documents so that everybody would have access to them or something. And he does this right live on the air. And then, again, you'd have to be watching the last 3 to 4 hours of the show from the summit from yesterday afternoon to see the lead-up to it and then him doing this. And so it's like it was setting him free. Here, I'm putting it in. You now know the truth. Here it is. We're going to do what we can to get this out there to everybody. It's almost like he did, you know, who knows? I haven't hardly heard anything today about it. On the news, which I have to admit, I haven't been watching news all day long, but I really haven't heard a whole lot about the summit. So I'm figuring it's going to take them a day or two to digest and see how they want to spin this of what happened here, because the facts are there. He's got the proof. He's got the evidence. He's got people across this country who are saying it. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy theory if it's true. It's a conspiracy, but it's not a theory if it's true. And the facts are just there. You got to see it. Excuse me. If anybody can prove that it's wrong, and this is where you have these groups from all the different states. There are spokespeople from every state up there talking about what they did, to investigate, how they canvassed, and, well, wait a minute. Hey, okay. There was one person living in this house, but there were 17 votes tied to this house, this household. Like there were 17 people who lived there.
Well, they had cats.
You know. Yeah. Cats have the right to vote, too. Come on.
That's right. They're people, too.
That's right. They know more than some people I know, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Another story for another day. Now let's see if I can see. Then there's a link out there. Clint Curtis, Democrat whistleblower, exposes the truth about how he created the machine algorithm.
Not just a whistleblower observing something. He's the guy that created the algorithm that actually flipped the votes?
Exactly. He's the one that came up with a 51-49 combo to make sure that it wouldn't attract attention. When it's that close, they're not going to notice compared to somebody winning by a landslide kind of thing. And there's the video on that, and you listen to him. And the guy, he's out there working with Mike Lindell and saying, I want honest elections. He said, yes, he was a Republican, I guess, when he did this. Then he was a Democrat. Now he's still a Democrat. He openly admitted he voted for Biden, whatever. and somewhat jokes about it. And it's like, but I want honest elections. And so he's going to be out there working with the Democrats to get them to, none of us should want this. None of us should want corrupt elections. And if there's time towards the end here or whatever, I maybe play this one segment, the segment that he's out there, and it shows him testifying about the fact that he was the one who participated in this and whatever his explanation again is to why he thought he was doing good to help identify the ways you could break into the system so that you could stop it. Something to that effect. Whatever.
Well, look,
so,
I'm
going
to have to go, but where do I find the moment of truth?
Again, if you want to watch it, if you have Roku or on your internet, on your computer, you can watch it at Right Side Broadcast News. They have it out there. They will have it out there, and they're probably replaying it right now. Or you go to frankspeech.com, which is Mike Lindell's website.
All right. Let me write this down. Frank Speech, I know, but I want to write down the other one, the Right Side, or make sure I got the spelling right. Okay. It's right, so like it's like the normal way. RIGHTSIDE.
Correct, and it's the call letters are RSBN, Right Side Broadcast Network.
Okay, Right Side
Broadcast
Network.
Yep, they cover all of Trump's rallies and then other stuff.
Is that the site? Right Side Broadcast Network.com? Or do I have to look it up in Google?
I believe it's technically RSBN.com.
Okay. RSBN.com. Right. Okay, Right Side Broadcast. All right, and then there's the Frank Speech. Okay.
FrankSpeech.com, yep.
Yeah.
And... of course, that's all over the place. He's got the information on the cast votes and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
Cast vote requests. So spread the news.
Good.
And I'm going to try to call in tomorrow to talk a little bit about this. If I don't get a chance, definitely people just need to know. The proof is out there. Remove all doubt. You watch this. If you can still watch this and think we ought to still be voting with these machines, then, I don't know, I've got a Brooklyn Bridge on the North Pole to sell you or something stupid, but whatever.
Yeah, well, I've sold pieces of the Brooklyn Bridge, so don't worry about selling some.
Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in. Have a good evening, and we'll talk again next week.
All right. You too, Sally. Be safe, all right?
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Now, let's see. The next thing I was talking about. And I do see John. I hope, John, I hope you're still there. I know I've kept you waiting out there.
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Okay. Have you been listening? we're talking about the election.
I've been talking about making voting safe.
That's right, getting rid of the machines. We have got to get rid of the machines. And if you did not watch Mike Lindell's The Moment of Truth Summit over the weekend, you need to go out there and watch it. It gives you
all the facts. I have one question.
Okay.
Why did anybody agree to voting machines in any state?
Well, if you go back how many years when we first got them, there were probably a lot of people thinking, oh, it's new technology. They're not going to have it connected to the Internet. They'll be able to keep it safe, la, 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 la. Oh, I can just hear all, this will be so fast and we'll have a permanent record of it, and blah, blah. I can hear all the hoopla of how this new technology is going to make our election so much
better. It's been
better.
A big fraud.
It has been since day one. It has been. So what? We got to get rid of the machines, and we got everybody to get involved to get rid of the machines. Now, and we have to do it at two levels because, like I was saying earlier, and Karen was saying, here in Florida, the Dominion machines and the Smartmatic or whatever the other one's called, the other machines, the machines themselves, the touch screens, are gone out of Florida. They have paper ballots, but the scanners they use are the ones that are in question right now. So we really have to find out what's going on when there's a recount or anything when it comes to these scanners. That part is what I really don't know.
Have you voted this time around?
No, I'm going to go vote tomorrow. I do my best to vote on election day. Yep. So I'm going to look. And in fact, make sure there's a number on the ballot too. Make sure all the ballots are supposed to be numbered. So make sure you see the number.
Okay. So you're going to get a numbered ballot, right? In an effort.
Correct. Well,
so should I look for a numbered ballot or what?
Yeah, if it doesn't have a number on it, you should ask them about it, because by the state regs, they're all supposed to be numbered. So there should be, again, this is supposed to be recording the ballots. It's not supposed to record the person, it's supposed to record the ballot and make sure that the ballots are counted. So, again, if you're going out there trying to backtrack and look at what they've added, what their machine counted, well, wait a minute, you got 10,000 ballots out here with no number on them. How come they don't have a number? They should all have numbers. Where did these really come from? Where did the numbers, how did this machine read these things? Kind of stuff like that. So we have to look all over the place. And anything with the electronics, anything is subject to a certain amount of corruption, but the electronics, the technology, sure can make it a lot easier for some people to do this and very difficult to prove otherwise.
Yeah, that's why it never should have been considered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got to go back in time and think about, 20 years ago, whenever it was, when they really started putting these machines out there, how everybody was, ooh, that's so neat. Look at that. I mean, you know what's happened over technology over the years. People are just, look, you got all this information, too? Oh, yeah, look at this and all this other stuff. And then it's like, yeah, but what about the true controls on something like this? What do you do to go validate it? How do you prove what's right or wrong or whatever else? You know, and there just isn't. There isn't anything out there. There is no way to easily go out there. You would have to have some kind of
paper ballot is the only safe way.
And that's what we got to do. And that's, of course, Trump has been saying that for a while now. Trump was challenging any of this nonsense to begin with the mail-in ballots and the fraud and everything else that was going to come down the pike with it. So, and then Mike Lindell is saying it. There's countries around the world who have gotten rid of the machines because they're corrupt. There is no way to totally safeguard yourself against these machines. That's all there is to it.
I like to see us moving in that direction.
Yep. So did you hear me talking about the cast vote records? You go out there and put in a request for the cast vote records for your county, your precinct and or your county. Did you hear me talking about that? If not, I can repeat that. Because you can go out to...
What was that?
It's called CVR Cast Vote Records. You put in a request for the cast vote records for your precinct or your county, and then you'll get a type of spreadsheet report kind of thing. It doesn't have any personal information, but it has voting records. And the whole point, like I was explaining earlier, if you live in a county with 5,000 people and 1,000 of them don't vote because of their age or whatever, they don't want to vote, whatever, so 4,000, you have 4,000 registered voters in your county. However, you get this cast vote records report that has 10,000 votes. Well, wait a minute. How did you manage to get 10,000 votes in a county with only 4,000 registered voters? And this is the stuff that we never get to see. But you have to make a request for it. And if you go out to Mike Lindell's website, that's the frankspeech.com, which I have those links on the show page for tonight's show, go there, and there's information on how to do it. It gives you the little language, what to put in there, and that kind of stuff. And it's critical that we do this because come September 3rd, Karen confirmed it just earlier, September 3rd of this year is the deadline, or they have to maintain the 2020 records until September 3rd of 2022, 2 years later. So at that point, they will destroy those, and we'll never have a chance to see them. So that's why it's critical to go out there and get the records request in now and pull those, either stop them from being able to purge them because we got people requesting them, or that we get a copy of it before they purge the other records so that we do have proof. See, it's right here. You had a county of 4,000 voters that has a total of 10,000 votes. How do you have 10,000 votes in this? You know, you can't do this. So that kind of thing. This is to arm yourself to also to understand. Well, if you're in a county of 4,000 voters and you end up with 3,870 votes, okay, a few people probably didn't make it that day. They skipped it, whatever. And you can go along with that. That would make sense. But to go and have 8,000 or 10,000 votes is something is not right. They're aligning the votes. Now, when it comes to switching them and those things, that part is still goes to the next level. But it also does show, wait a minute, this is a solid red county. How in the world did a solid red county vote for everybody Democrat? It just wouldn't happen. And this county has 90% Republicans, and yet all the Democrats won. Something isn't right. How were they flipping the votes there, too? So it gives you something to truly challenge on the system kind of thing, and obviously prove there's fraud, election fraud, if you have more votes than what you do people kind of thing. So that's the reason on that one. And then he was also talking. He had a group of sheriffs out there. And Nathan, I see you out there, so I'm not ignoring you. I'll be there in just a minute. I had a group of sheriffs from across the country, and they were talking about people coming to them saying, you know, Sheriff, I don't want to bother you this, but something isn't right here. My mother, who has passed away now, she did not know me on this day. She didn't know who I was. She no longer was able to make that distinction, yet they say she voted. She didn't vote. She couldn't. There's no way that they did this. How did they get this? And this was the ballot harvesting that was going on with these nursing homes, and we know that all too well here in Florida. They said they've done some things to stop it. We'll see. I don't know how much they've really done to stop it. The other part of it would be that what they could do systematically, knowing who lives there, versus going in there and truly harvesting votes or just creating votes out of thin air with these people's names. Kind of a similar thing, but that type of deal. So it's terrible. Disgusting. Let me see. Anything else you want to say right now, or I'm going to get Nathan on the call too.
No, I don't have anything to say on this subject as far as the voting machines and stuff.
Okay, well,
it has to be changed.
It does, and it's up to us to now, I mean, we've got the evidence in front of us. Mike Lindell, what he's been doing the past 2 years, all the effort, he's got they want to call it foolproof evidence. I mean, it's all out there. You can't deny it now. I mean, they can deny it, but they would look really stupid because it's just there. It's the truth, the moment of truth. Here it is, folks. It's all in front of you. And if you still insist on being a denier, then you're the one with a problem. And then, of course, this was to shut down all the crazy conspiracy theories. Steve Bannon and Marjorie Taylor Greene, she was on there towards the end. It was really very good. It's so much information. You really need, if you haven't watched it, go out there and definitely watch it. Plan on watching it on the recorder. You can, you know, watch it for a couple hours and take a break and that stuff. It was 30 plus hours, I think, over the weekend. So there was a lot of information out there. And I didn't watch every bit of it. I did watch a lot of it, and I will watch some other pieces of it. But you can go out there and find, there's a link for the Clint Curtis, that was the Democrat whistleblower. You can go find the link on that one. Listen, it's like 38 minutes. And depending on the time we have here, I could maybe try to play it, but I prefer to talk to people, let people talk before playing that kind of stuff. So let me get Nathan on here, and we'll see what Nathan has to say. And if Nathan's only going to talk about Republicans, then we're wasting our time, because we all know.
I'm going to only talk about the Electoral College. Now, the reason I called in is, listen, I have a site that I can type your name in and see what your affiliation is, your Republican, Democrat affiliate, or whatever else.
Correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. But why is it that we don't get a receipt like we go to the grocery store? We get a receipt and as documents everybody I voted for. I've heard some people say they take their ballot and take a picture of it. But you know what? You can't find that ballot. They're not. They can't find it. You know, we got computers, and some of the finest minds that doesn't miss any detail, and yet we're so sloppy that you can't find out who you really voted for. I should be able to go on there and go, man, she voted for that guy. Wow, you know.
Well, that's what they need to do. No.
Well, it's set up.
Your vote is not public record. The vote you voting is public record. Who you voted for is not public record. They're not going to do that. And they shouldn't. They shouldn't go out there and say who voted for who. It's not my business who you voted for. I have absolutely no reason to know who you voted for.
Yeah, but it's hard to track it. If there's no record someplace of who you voted for, then there's no proof that you even voted. Other than you remembered it.
Well, who you voted for, that's the whole point. But it would not be feasible, and truly I don't think it would be legal, to go out there and just kind of, when you go and ask for the votes I was just talking about, the cast vote records, you go out there and you say, I want to see a list of the votes that were in this county or in this precinct, whatever. You're going to get a list of the votes, but you're not going to get the person's name. You're not going to get those kind of details about it. But you're going to know, well, wait a minute. I live in zip code whatever, and there's only about 50 of us in this zip code, yet for some reason we've got 2,000 votes. How did we get 2,000 votes? It's pretty obvious that there's fraud there. You don't need to know who they voted for to know that there's fraud there. This is the big picture, to understand how they're playing these games. The other part that is confusing, which is the part what you're kind of talking to, it's a pure red county that's voted red for the past 10 years, all Republicans except for two Democrats, whatever. And yet all of a sudden, no party affiliates and Democrats are elected. There's not one Republican's elected. That's when you would be suspicious of votes being flipped from one to another. That would be pretty obvious to see that, too. That's why you have to have a paper count. You have to be able to go and do a manual paper count. Get rid of the machines. The machines are the problem. That's all there is to it. I was already against the machines to begin with. We got rid of the machines themselves here in Florida years ago. And
back during the 2020 election, I was getting emails. Your mail-in ballot. See, it's called an absentee ballot, not a mail-in ballot. But the subject was you want to apply something related to you. You want to apply for your mail-in ballot. And whenever I clicked on yes, it went into the Biden campaign. I pointed this out to several people, and I don't know why Bud Hedinger or any of these other Dana Lash, why none of these people would pick this up. If the Republicans are their enemies, they should be exposing this stuff. So that just tells me we got one party. They're looking out for each other.
I don't doubt that a bit. You and I have talked about this many a time. I am not some wonderful fan of the Republican Party, and I'm not a fan of the Democrat Party. We're seeing some new people come in. We're going to see if they are going to be anything like what they say. I mean, I think Matt Gaetz has shown that he's not a typical Republican. I think, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's proven she's not a typical Republican. So, I mean, there's definitely those who are not the status quo, and that's what we have to get. We have to get rid of the others. Now, I mean, you have a person like Jim Jordan out there. He's not the status quo either, even though at times you wonder, like, well, Jim, why did you stop right there? You were right on the edge of this other question that would have been perfect, and it wasn't a matter of running out of time. Why did you not ask that next question that was so relevant to? So there's times like that when Jim Jordan seems to be really good, but then he sometimes says weird things. I'm like, it seems like he kind of dropped the ball there. What was the point? Was he trying to play nice?
You mentioned Marjorie Greene. When she got up there, she started doing her little striking lightning all over the place. I contacted her office, and I asked to speak to somebody that is really close to her that talks to her, and they got a guy on there. And I said, here's what's going to happen. They're going to get rid of her. The Republicans will get rid of her by redistricting her district over into a predominantly Democrat zone, and she won't be able to get reelected. And I called back several months later, and she goes, yeah, they've already redistricted. I said, there you go. That's how to get rid of them. And I told him to tell her if she can bring up the idea that there is no districts for the Congress people in the Constitution. It's not about districts. It's about all the Congress members bring back money to the state, and in that way, your state gets that new bridge or that railroad and not your district. But we got to read the Constitution.
Well, there's no two ways about that.
I hope she wins, but the politicians need to listen to some of these people down here.
It is a sad state of affairs when the Republicans go after their own, just like that. And you don't see much of that on the Democrat side. They probably do it some, but nothing to the likes of what the Republicans are. So the Republicans are sleazy and scummy in their own way. Mitch McConnell is a perfect example of a typical scummy Republican. I mean, how much scummier can you get than Mitch McConnell? I don't know. And Mitt Romney and company and whatever. They are scummy. You're not going to get any arguments out of me.
About Mitt Romney. I don't understand on Mitt Romney why nobody will say he owns Clear Channel and iHeartRadio. Nobody will talk about that. And when he ran in 08 and 2012, there was only two hosts and they got removed. Rusty Humphries wouldn't say anything against Romney, but he would let people on. I got his personal email. I'd tell him, hey, I got this, and okay, I'll call in. And he would let me say my piece. And then as we're getting close, they removed him from the I-4 corridor out of Florida. And Michael Savage, and then Michael Savage was beating Rush in many of the markets, and they moved him out of off the I-4 corridor, and then next thing you know, he's online, and Rusty Humphries got a desk job someplace. So you know what? I would rejoice if whenever I seen the Republican Party go to hell. They are not for the people, and Mitt Romney's niece is over the GOP now. We're on. I'm on. You're just talking to me like I'm a battered wife that you love me, a battered voter. You love me, and it's the best way to go right here. Yes, honey. But anyway, I'm going to hang up and keep listening.
Well, no, before you go, let me ask you something. Excuse me. When it comes to Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, you're here in Florida. You know what he's doing. Do you like what he's doing as a Republican, or what are your thoughts on him? And I'll explain why I asked after you.
I like Ron DeSantis. He's getting some stuff done. He's among some of those. Florida is flourishing, and he was able to see it, not right away, but when he saw it, he got out front and started fighting. That's good. I will say that the reason everybody is pushing all of talk radio and other Republican heads are talking about him running for office is that gets rid of Trump. But I believe that if he gets up there, he's not going to do as well as Trump did as far as shutting these people up, this deep state stuff. He's not going to do that well. I disagree with him again. He gets real strong on this this district thing, and there is no districts in the Constitution. There is no districts. It's the Congress members, the representatives go to Washington to represent the population of the state. You say, well, that's not a small detail. Well, guess what? When Alan West was up there, they redistricted him, and he came within 500 points, and that is what you need to be within 500 points of winning or losing to be able to qualify for a recount, and the Republicans said, no, we don't want him, and he packed up and went to Texas, where there is no districts. And that's what I'm saying. You can see a guy with him won with great numbers, and then now he's struggling. It's because of that district. There is no districts, but you know what? We're not reading the Constitution, so that doesn't matter. Anybody's an opinion like that is just not heard.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely true. We are not living by the Constitution, and that's why Glenn Beck says it time and time again. If we would go back to the Constitution, we would be solving these problems. Which actually, I want to throw this out there, kind of a little bit of off track here, but I was going to mention this at the beginning of the show. It's like, when it comes to this ESG stuff, what they're trying to do with the banks, having the banks be totally monitor everything you do and whatever, decide when you get your money, all this other stuff. Well, we got this other group, Strive, is out there coming up with their own plan, drill, and stuff like that, and going outside of the public-private partnerships and the garbage of the federal government fascism stuff. So you got that going on. I think we need to do the same thing. And if anybody out there listening knows the right people to contact, who knows, maybe that means Trump or Lindell or whoever. Obviously, it has to be some people with a little bit of money for it.
I know how to get a hold of Trump. I know how to get a message to Trump. I know how to get a message to Trump.
Okay, get the message.
You send me something,
Trump,
I can get it in front of Trump. You send me what you're saying. Send me what you want, and I'll put it in front of Trump.
Okay, I will do that.
But here, listen.
Before I go,
I want to tell you what I'm doing in the local races here. I got a list of questions that you would delete, but I got a list of questions I send to the candidate. And I ask them, you're going to make an oath to the Constitution. What is your position on this? Only one judge responded, but what the judge said she does is she believes in the Constitution, but she is committed to the legislatures and the laws they make. I sent back, I'm waiting on the other, your competition, and how he replies to determine if I'm going to leave this race blank. But please answer the questions. I'm not worried about the legislators or the laws they make. Most of them aren't constitutional. But just please answer these questions. And if she answers them anywhere near, it doesn't have to be perfect, but anywhere near logic, then I will vote for it. But among the school people, I have ran into some of the people running for school positions that knows the Constitution, and I'm getting behind them in many different ways because we need to come in here with all this stuff. Like I got I'm a car door, and you have to call me a car door. You're not allowed to disagree with me.
Okay, now what is your opinion of Jacobs, Teresa Jacobs? She was the superintendent of the school board. I couldn't stand her. There's no way I could vote for her. Of course, I'm not in that county anymore. But
I think she would make a great boat anchor. because that's all she is. All she is just a load, just a big old heavy load of liberal trash, socialist trash. She's not interested in you as a taxpayer or you as a parent in education. She's not interested in any of that. She's interested. She's like, what was that? Linda Stewart, Mel Martinez, Marco Rubio. She's a part of the establishment that's moving in a direction, and she'll be the one that goes to Congress next after a term or two here. So it's the same stuff. It's the same socialist crap. But no, I wouldn't bet my last nickel on her for anything.
She's a wicked anyway. Liberal. And of course, like I say, I'm not down there, so I can't vote against her now. But I was just kind of curious. And I will give you one last tip. I'm not going to say anything more today, and maybe next week or the week after, I'll be doing the show. Now you know me and the toll roads, right? That hasn't changed.
Yes.
And now COVID and everything
committed.
Made the that's right, and I haven't changed my opinion on them by any means. But with COVID and everything else going on, the subject, the topics have definitely moved away from transportation and growth management. However, I did get a call from Tallahassee today asking me about some stuff I submitted in the past, because I did submit to the governor shortly after.
The governor's on you. The governor's looking at your stuff.
Well, that's I'll take
you
that
know,
as a good sign.
That is, well, you know, wow, that is so good. You know, now this is something that's crazy. Somebody had gave, when Val Demings was thinking about running for the mayor, somebody had gave her, remember I introduced her to you and you sat down with her with some records
yep.
and showed her some stuff and policies. But when she contacted me, I didn't have as much as you, and that's why I pointed her to her. But one thing I told her, if you want to win in a landslide and the other guy doesn't even get one vote, all you got to do is pick up the toll roads, because they were promised it would be, the Beeline was promised it would be tore down once it's paid for, and it was paid for in 1980, and they started building new tolls. And I told her on the Mobility 2020, there was more than 60, I think it was like 68 or 66% of the people said no on ballots. And then whenever it got in the race on the ballot in the election, more than 60% said no to it. And the next morning, Rich Crotty was in front of a press conference. The lady asked him, well, what's your plan B for Mobility 2020? And he says, there is no plan. And then our toes went up, the construction started, and we're getting taxed, and we never agreed on it. And I said, if you want to pull a scab off of an unhealed wound, and this is just going to start oozing out, and that will get people so fired up, you won't have no competition getting elected. She called me back in a couple weeks and said, you know, I've decided I'm going to go for another office, probably Congress. And I said, right there, she's a part of the system. She's a part of it.
Well, let me tell you.
And that's why her husband went in there.
Yep. Okay. Well, we're not going to talk about the Demings. Oh, my goodness. That's another story. But which, of course, I would like for Jerry Demings to not get reelected to the Orange County Commission. But that's another story. But here's the deal. When talking to this person, they were wanting other contacts, because I gave a pretty, you know me, again, it was probably 45 minutes I was speaking with this person, going over what I had already studied and what I had done, and that at one point someone from DeSantis' office had contacted me a while back, and I even told her, I said they were just, it was just more of a pacifier. I said they just did it to amuse me, I guess, because I really didn't think they were taking any of it seriously or listening, even though and this is why people don't like government. We voted against the tolls on I-4. They worked around us and got them there anyway. They did it anyway after we voted no. So I said people are sick of it, and it's hurting people. And I went into the usual spiel with all the other information. So, but what I'm going to get into here is this person is wanting to know some other people from the Orlando area, because I told this person that I had moved up to the panhandle, who are still having their own challenges with the cost of it and everything else. So who would be willing to talk to someone their frustrations? I think you would. And maybe John would. John,
well,
I'll get with you too. But I need a list of some names and numbers of people in the Orange County area who are totally fed up and how they're being harmed by the toll roads, the toll taxes, how it's impacting the cost of living, as well as the fact they can't even afford to use the roads anyway.
What they need to do is target some of the companies, because the companies, when they sit down and work out a freight rate on something, on a whatever it is, that they're going to be moving by truck, and these companies, you can't put the cost of tolls in it. We're not paying for your tolls. So that there makes it real hard. So companies companies would probably be some people that would get on that, you know. But, of course, they pass it on to the – they always can pass on to the customer.
That's the point. And as we spoke about this in the past, small businesses, the plumbers, landscapers, all that, they either have to limit their service area because they can't afford it, or their prices are going to go up because that's the only way they can do it. And again, that's all impacts the cost of living in Orange County. So those are in some of those small businesses like that, too, I think would be good. So I'm going to be working on putting a list together, and people that would be willing to express their frustration of what the tolls are doing to their life, their quality of life, their cost of living, et cetera, et cetera. With everything else that's going on with
here's something. Let me say one last thing on this transportation thing with Mobility 2020. Most people didn't know this. You know, Bud Hedinger came from the radio, the TV station. He had a buddy that worked at the TV station during that time that was Rich Crotty's media man. He's the one that did anything media. Okay, now listen to this. Rich Crotty made people mad. Also, whenever he announced there is no plan, Bud Hedinger got on there and he said, what we'll do is we'll put together a people-led transportation plan, and the last segment of the show every day he would bring it up, and people would call in, and I was even one. Somebody had said we need to put the trucks in the right lane and make it a law that they're only in the right lane. And I caught in, and he scratched that because it made sense, but he scratched it when I told him, you put trucks in the right lane, you got faster moving ones. They need that another lane to be able to pass and get in front of them. So to put them all in one lane, he's like, okay. But he called it Mobility 2020, the people-led transportation plan. And he was saying they're going to put this plan together and then take it to the politicians. He did this every day for 2 weeks. On the third Monday, he came in, did his show, and he didn't bring up Mobility 2020. And at the last 15 minutes, he would bring a segment. And then in the last 15 minutes of his show, he would update everything that's been added to or taken off of this Mobility 540 on the AM, Mobility 540. So the third week on Monday, he did not bring it up. He didn't update it. On Tuesday before the show, I called his office. He was there preparing 15 minutes before the show. I got him on there. I said, hey, Bud, you forgot the Mobility 540 update. He goes, yeah, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And then he tells me, call the station, because I had to flatter him. You're doing a great job, man. And he said, well, call it. And he told me who to ask and let him know that I'm doing a good job. And because I guess, you know, he's a little uncomfortable just starting out with this thing. And that afternoon he didn't do it, and he never did do it. And I after a week, I just sent to him, and I still remind him of this. What you did is you took people's mind into something else, and you got them away with, you just keep them in a short-term memory. And I'm amazed that every time he brings up the subject of transportation, I always remember him. Bud, this is your baby, Mobility 540. That man is going to have a hard time standing on the carpet in front of God on this deception with a lot of other deceptions. He's a gifted leader. He's a gifted communicator, and he's good at moving your mind someplace else. He was against Trump, for Trump.
You remember the SunRail? You know? He was out there. He was pushing for SunRail because he, as so many said, well, get SunRail out there. You get all these other people off of I-4, and then I can drive. That was the mentality. I remember that. But anyway, so the point is I'll reach out to you. If you got a list of any people's names, those who want to talk about what the negative impact is, if you know anybody in the area, send it to me, and I'll make sure to pass it on. And then the other thing, what I started to say about Trump or whatever, getting into the free market. See, we're going to get back. This goes back to that Constitution and the free market and getting rid of fascism and stuff. I'm sure there's enough people out there. Well, I don't know if it'll be Elon Musk or whoever. There's got to be enough people out there who could put some money together and create a new automobile industry, as in a new manufacturer, I should say. Manufacturer who would build nothing but gas cars. Because right now people don't want these stupid electric cars. The ones that are building them are all doing it because that's what they're being told by the fascist government we have today. But they can't stop the others, just like they can't stop this other person with financial forces that's going to go around the other.
We got a generation that wasn't taught science. They were taught we're the global warming crap. They don't understand when they plug that car up to charge it up. It is oil that's charging it up.
But it's the perfect. If you get the right people in there, the perfect marketing to get the investors is to go out there and have a true story. here's the electric car, here's all the pollution, here's the gas car, here's the pollution. It's side by side. So if you really care about the environment, you need to come back over here, because over here is where the real pollution is. Over here is where you're going to be left high and dry out in that freezing cold weather when your battery's dead and there's nothing you can do. So, I mean, we and you're right, we need to educate people because people are ignorant about what's going on when it comes to this stuff. And, I mean, it all sounds wonderful. We want a green planet. We want clean air. I mean, that's fine. Well, but let's be honest about it. Let's have a truth summit, a moment of truth summit when it comes to the automobile and the truth about climate change, instead of making up answers that we like that seem to fit what we want to do. Because that's what this is all about. Same as these stupid machines. Those who want to control want to keep the machines because they can manipulate them and they can control the output. They can control the decision. That's not the right thing to do. Not what we're supposed to be about.
Well, let me let you go. And I don't want to take up your whole show. But,
well, that was good.
I'll talk to you later.
Conversation. And you only said Electoral College one time, so I'm very proud of you.
Yeah. I figured you would start fussing during that time. But anyway, you have a good night, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, Nathan. Nathan and I have known each other for quite a few years, so everybody can know that we joke around like that. Nothing, no harm on that stuff. We joke around all the time. And when we first started talking about the Electoral College stuff, I was really out there saying, you know, I was in agreement or not sure and whatever else. And I kept going back. I kept trying to come up with my own decision. Because, you know, God gave me a brain. I try to use it. Don't always use it as much as I should, but I try to. And I'm going out there studying the Constitution. I'm listening to other constitutionalists, so they say, what their role is and this kind of stuff. You listen to Ron Paul. Ron Paul was one of the best. I would have easily voted for Ron Paul for president, and I did in the primary, but back in the day, because he truly, genuinely believed in the Constitution, and he actually knew it. Rand Paul, I think, knows the Constitution. He's out there playing more of the politics than what his father did. But he's still very much a constitutionalist. Ron Paul was truly a libertarian. And most people don't really appreciate what a libertarian is compared to a so-called Republican. But the libertarian doesn't want any government. They want the bare bones of government minimal. And so I'd much rather go with somebody who wants this limited, limited government than this other nonsense that we have today. But the whole point is we need people that know the Constitution. And when I did my own research and learning more and more about the Constitution and the Electoral College, the electors, you got to go out there and read up on those electors in the Constitution. The electors, and the electors are appointed by the state, and the electors are strictly for the president and the vice president. Technically, there was supposed to be two different elections, one for the president, one for the vice president. Obviously, there were times when this caused problems when the president was a Republican, the vice president was a Democrat, or vice versa, whatever, and they hated each other and whatever else. You know, they weren't on the same page at all, and that's how they seemed to come up with this other. And I think there was a change. This is where, again, I'll have to go check the Constitution. Excuse me. Check the Constitution to see how they reworded it or whatever so that when you vote for the president, you're voting for the vice president at the same time. Because there was technically supposed to be two different ballots from the electors. The electors are to be the same amount of people who are in the Congress. For every representative you have in the House, you have an elector for your state. And then you have the state controls how the electors are appointed and whatever else and the various rules, stuff with the state level. And to that degree, I openly admit, I really don't know Florida's electoral process, but look at the Constitution and how it gives you that statement about the electors. And Nathan is totally right. It never says Electoral College. Electoral College. It says electors. The electors representing the one member for every person in Congress, blah, 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 kind of stuff. That's the way they worded it. And then the states. The states control or appoint the electors, whatever that process is there, and I would need to go there. So the more I was learning about it, the more I'm like, well, this is what it's supposed to do. Do I want an electoral college? I still think I do. But I mean, right now I'm I could change on that. I don't know. There's parts of me that like the Electoral College where I think it somewhat keeps it more even, not a pure democracy routine. I don't know. It's a little bit of a tough question. But anyway, getting back to this other, and let's see here. I want to make sure, what was the other one? Okay. Looking for that one other. Now, the other name, again, is Dennis Montgomery. I was looking for the sheet where the statements, the immunity, what he signed for his immunity and everything else for all of the stuff he was engaged in. I haven't been able to find that, even though they were showing that at the Moment of Truth Summit with Mike Lindell. They were showing that. They had it up there, and then they read segments of it where it talked about the election machines, how easily it is to tamper them, what they could do with them. Well, they could be reached. The thing we were being told all along, this kind of goes back, I think, to what John was saying, how we got there with these things. In the beginning, we were told they would have absolutely no access to the Internet, and that's a total lie. I think I don't know that they've had access since day one, but maybe it was day two. But they've had access to the Internet for a long time. As long as they have that, then they have all this communication. It's just unlocking the door. Come on in. I really do compare what they do with these machines a lot to our southern border. Come on in. We don't care. Yeah, there's a border there, but what the heck? We don't care. Come on and invade us. Come on, invade us. Take over. Yeah, China. Who do you want to be president, China? Yeah, you come in and you make the decision. It's not for the American people to make a decision. It's for China to decide. And, of course, Canada, Trudeau. Who do you want to be the president of the United States? Yeah, let's do that. And, people got to realize the urgency of this stuff. Because, we can't do anything with some of these machines that are still out there now. Can't do much about them for November of this year. But we got another really big election coming up in 2 years if we survive to do that, which I pray every day we do. we got to get rid of these machines before the 2024 election. We have got to get rid of them. We got to clear them out this next week. After these new people, I should do this next year, after these new people get sworn in, elected, sworn in, whatever else, which better be constitutionalist. I'm not going to say conservatives. I'm not going to say Republicans. They better be constitutionalist. They better believe in the Constitution, and they better start doing stuff to protect this country. This is what we need. This is what they're elected to do. This is what they took an oath to do, this type of thing. So we've really got to push and keep pushing and go out there and get the votes, the cast vote records kind of thing. Have proof. We want proof. We already know the proof is there, but we have to be able to document it. Just like with any other court case, you have to have the proof. And Michael Lindell can't do it all. Lord only knows he's done an awful lot. And, I buy my slippers and whatever else. I try to do little things to support him. I think he has a legal fund out there, too, because I believe in what he's doing. I truly believe he's doing it for the right reasons. I think he's trying to save this country. And I think Donald Trump is also trying to save this country. Donald Trump, sometimes I wonder about some of the things he says and does. But I do think he still wants to save this country. And I believe there's enough Americans who still want to save it too. But the true Americans, the true patriots, you can't sit on the sidelines anymore. You can't. You've got to get out there and put the message out there. You've got to educate others, and realizing it's not always easy, and sometimes the family fights will get started. I remember in the past I would go to one of my family members' house and I would just be talking very casually. Did you hear about this? Do you know what Agenda 21 is? This and that and whatever else. We're not talking politics. I said, I'm just having a discussion. I'm asking you a question. And I would do that when if they had guests there. I was a little bit more understanding because they didn't want to get into a big old fight with the guest who might have different opinion or whatever, even though I don't truly believe that way. But, okay, it's their house, whatever. And I said, but this is important stuff. Are you aware of this? We're not talking about politics. Wouldn't even listen to the topic. So we're just having a discussion. There's not a fight going on here. It's having an open discussion. This is what he stands for. This is what fascism is. Do you want fascism or do you want this? And just, and it would always get, nope, not talking about. And if I continue to talk, then it would just cause a ruckus. And then I would look and say, you guys need to know what's going on. This is happening whether you like it or not. You know, I can appreciate you want to party and have fun, but you better see what's happening in your backyard. And then it was, I guess it was Christmas of 2019, when all the commotion was going on about the election, didn't know what was really happening with it, and I was over for Christmas, and I brought a stack of books. The Communist Manifesto, the Solinsky's Rules for Radicals, and the different things on COVID, what was really going on with COVID, the Agenda 21, all these different things, and I just told them. You know, I said, I'm doing something different this year because something's going to happen this coming year. This is right before 2020 and before, you know, the real insanity. I should say 2021. This was happening the Christmas of 2020. After 2021, I said, I don't know exactly what's going to happen this coming year, but something's going to happen. If Trump wins, these Democrats are going to go crazy. And if he doesn't win, I don't know what's going to happen there because these people are fools. They're communists. They want to destroy this country, and you've got to understand that. So I said, I'm giving you these books. Maybe you'll take some time to read some of this information. This is what I've been trying to tell you for the past 5 to 10 years. This is what's happening to our country. We have to face the reality. We cannot fix anything if we refuse to deal with the truth. The truth is, there's a communist monster trying to take over this country. Are you going to stand there and let him do it? And then, I mean, in the past, over those years, oh, that's never going to happen here. That could never happen. That's a conspiracy theory. It's not. It's not a conspiracy theory any more than these corrupt elections are. It's not a theory. It's real. All you got to do is go out there. I'm telling you, people, if you haven't listened to Bill Gates on some of this stuff, his depopulation, go out there and listen to what Bill Gates says about depopulation. With the right this and the right vaccines, we'll be able to reduce the population by 10 to 15% by whatever year. Bill Gates. Financing vaccines to kill people, depopulation. He doesn't call it killing. He calls it depopulation. There's an evil element out there. And the evilness is there because we've had how many decades of corrupt elections and people not being engaged. We have to take back the ballot box. We have to elect people who actually believe in something, which let me go back. Excuse me, go back to what Nathan was saying. The reason I asked Nathan about Ron DeSantis. I understand, you know, if Ron DeSantis was to run for the president and get elected, the game is going to be different up there than at the state level. They're two different games, no doubt. Ron DeSantis knows that. He's been in Congress before. So he was a state representative for only one or two terms, whatever it was. So he knows what Congress is. So you could do that. But the thing is, right now, because what Ron DeSantis, which I want him to stay as the governor of Florida, I don't want him to run in 2024 for the presidency. Hope he doesn't. I want him to stay as governor. We need a governor like that to train the other governors. And Ron DeSantis's popularity, whether you people, some don't like him or do like him, whatever, his popularity is what has empowered him to do more of the right stuff. He goes and gets carried away and does the wrong thing. Well, he's going to go the other way. But the thing is, and you know, I can go back to the beginning of all this pandemic thing. Me and a group of us were sending emails with the facts. Don't do this. Don't do this. Keep Florida the freedom state. Make Florida the freedom state. Do this and this. All in the very beginning. And I believe that enough of us reached out to him with information. We didn't just say, hey, we don't like this. We provided detailed information. We did the research, too. Here you go. Look at this. And then, based on the facts, he didn't go along and do all the insanity some of these other states have done. Excuse me. And people like that. They liked the fact he was an independent thinker and that he actually took into consideration the facts and the culture. All this sickness of what's going on with kids, castrating young boys, it's all disgusting. It shouldn't be allowed. If you're not going to protect your children, who are you going to protect? So he's right to say no. As an adult, if you want to do that, go for it, whatever. Don't expect the taxpayers to pay for it. It's not a health care procedure. It's not a medical procedure. You might need some kind of emotional whatever. But right now, it's all, as far as I'm concerned, it's all growth, indoctrination, brainwashing, manipulation. You go and take a child at a young age and start twisting their mind into whatever direction you want it to go, you can do a lot. You can do a lot of damage. And that's what this is. And do not, people, please, don't put your kids in public schools. Please. I mean, maybe in high school, if you think they're open enough to talk to you, if their teachers would come up with some of this perverted stuff. But definitely not in the grade school, not in the younger. Do not put them in there. Not unless you hate your kids, because that's what you're doing. Don't go out there and have them brainwashed into thinking a girl is a boy and a boy is a girl and all this other insanity. It's all sick. Sick, sick, sick. But the point is, DeSantis is willing to take a stand on those issues based on the overall Christian values of this country, what we have always believed. And there was actually something, I remember a few years ago, and I believe it was in Michigan, where they were doing the female circumcision to these young girls. And I was telling people that. They said, no, they can't do that. Well, this is a different culture, a different religion. This religion seems to think it's okay. They're being allowed to do this because of that religion. And something isn't right here. So, and that's one of the big questions. Like, how can you possibly go and do that to a young girl? It's just sick. It's absolutely sick. But this is what has happened to the culture. And DeSantis is pushing back. He's attempting to restore the culture. He's attempting to get back to what it's supposed to be. He's attempting to say who we really are. And the fact of the matter is, the majority of people that I hear, and I mean his popularity on the news and everything else, I think speaks for itself. The people like that he's doing this. They support him. I want him to keep training other Republican governors. Democrats, they're never going to change because they're communists. The Democrat Party, even though I don't believe the majority of American Democrats who are Americans, I don't believe the majority of them are true communists, but they're blinded by the light of they'll do whatever the party says, which is sick to me. You'll go along with this. And how many Democrats do not like what they're doing to the kids? But will they say it out loud? Will they say it? Or will they leave the Democrat Party and become a no-party affiliate? They don't want to be a Republican? Fine. Leave the Democrat Party. Whatever. It's also sick. But the thing is, DeSantis is pushing, he's putting a different direction, getting back to the family. We're going back to what our culture is, that it's okay to be an American. It's okay to believe in God. It's okay to say the Pledge of Allegiance. All these different things. And we need him to keep training these others because they don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't understand the Constitution. And yet the majority of people have been supporters of DeSantis. So, and I think we're going to see that in the election. And with that being said, we are down to just a minute here. Thank you, John. Please, I'm glad you called in. Had a little bit of a chat there. We're still going to do your show on the water out in California. We'll get to that one of these days. Please, everybody here in Florida, please make sure you get out and vote tomorrow if you haven't already done so. Get involved. Get rid of the machines. Go out there and do the cast vote request and everything else. It's up to us to take back the country. Get rid of these machines. We have to get rid of the machines. And with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless America. Please be engaged and have a good evening. Thank you.